You see again, once again, we're back here in the church. We'll be back again at 6:30 tonight to live stream again also from the church here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing upon the service today. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Your mercy, Your goodness, and Your grace to Your people. Even through these uncertain times, Lord, we see how You provide for Your people, how You take care of Your people, how You watch over us, O Lord. And even during these times, we're still able to get the gospel to go out and go forth, Lord, all by Thy will and Thy decree. And we just praise Thee, Lord Jesus, for giving us a place that we can come to and meet. And Lord, we pray that You would have this virus pass, Lord. And we know it'll be when it's Your will, and we know it will pass, Lord. But we pray, if it be Your will, that it would be done quickly, that we might meet together as Your people and rejoice in the presence of one another, Lord, as we have in the past. And we miss that, and we yearn for it, Lord. And You know our hearts. You know you know how we feel, and You know how we love to be together, Lord. So we thank You for, once again, Your mercy and Your grace to us in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, may You be magnified through the preaching of Your word. Oh, may You be held up high and lifted up, Lord. And may You give people eyes and ears to hear the words and eyes to look to Thee, O Lord, the great ensign of Your people, lifted high and high above all things through the preaching of Your word. O Lord, I pray You give me grace and strength to do that. The Holy Spirit would give me an unction from on high to boldly proclaim Thy gospel, O Lord, for Your glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The name of the message today is The Eternal Lamb Slain. The Eternal Lamb Slain. Today's message and tonight's message will be about the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, you often hear, we grace preachers, we say this often, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Well, today we will look at who that Lamb is, and tonight we will look at the blessings that come forth from that Lamb. And it's wonderful putting the messages together this week. Oh, how excited my heart became to know that Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, to know that God had us in His mind, and He's loved us with an everlasting love from eternity. Oh, how it'll make the believer's heart sing. Let's look at Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. Revelation 13, verse 8. There'll be three different scriptures we'll look at here. Three different scriptures for the text within our message. Revelation 13, 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him, this being the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Again, I'll read it one more time. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him, again, that being the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Again, often you will hear we grace preachers proclaim that Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And today we'll look closer at this wondrous Lamb. At this wondrous Lamb. We'll look this morning through Scripture where He's pictured, where He's manifest. This wondrous Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And we'll see how in Scripture He's revealed. And remember, we who are the people of God would never know who he was unless He reveals Himself to us. We would never know Him. And we did not know Him in our natural state, did we? And we would not know Him unless He revealed Himself to us, as He does in and through the Holy Scriptures by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And He does this all according to His mercy, beloved. He reveals Himself to His people all according to His mercy and according to His grace. Why? Because it pleased Him to do so. Because it pleased Him to do so. Oh my. So let this wondrous truth sink deep into your soul. Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And we who are God's people. We are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So no matter what situation we find ourselves in, we can have great comfort knowing that our Savior is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Oh, it's wondrous. It's absolutely wondrous. Let's now turn to John chapter 17. We'll consider three more portions of Scripture in light of what we read there in Revelation 13:8. John 17:24. Three more scriptures we'll consider in light of the words in Revelation 13:8, which proclaim that Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. John 17:24. Father, now this is Christ in his high priestly prayer. He's praying to our great God, the Father. And he says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now note that. Note that. I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Oh my, he's the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. The Father's loved him from before the foundation of the world. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Beloved, never forget that Christ is the Son of God. He's the Word incarnate. He's the second person of the Trinity. He's the great and everlasting God. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the great I Am. This is who our Savior is. He's the captain of the Lord's hosts, as we saw last week. And he came here to suffer, to bleed, to die in the room and place of his people, to redeem his people from their sins, to do that for them, which they could never do for themselves, to save us from our sins. My, the one speaking there in John 17:24 is God incarnate in the flesh. Now, men and women may deny this truth. They may deny that Christ is God. But let me tell you, it doesn't change a thing, does it? It doesn't change a thing. He's God. No matter whether men or women agree with him or not. Doesn't change a thing. People think, well, I don't believe it. Doesn't matter. What matters to your eternal soul? Yes, it does. But it doesn't change the fact that he's still God. They say it like, well, because I don't believe it, it's not true. No, it's still true. Doesn't change a thing. Jesus Christ is God. He's God. Now let's turn here to Ephesians chapter 1. He set aside his glory, beloved. Remember last week we saw he's the captain of the Lord's host. He appears before Joshua with a sword in his hand, ready to do battle. He laid all that glory aside, beloved, when he came to this world to redeem us with his precious, precious blood, to save his people from their sins. Look at this in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That means it had nothing to do with us, didn't it? We weren't even born. But God knew us. We were a chosen people in Christ. Isn't that marvelous? You ever think of that? God's had his love set upon you from eternity if you're one of his people. Look at this. He chose us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. I'm going to say something here. Did you make a decision then? No. We weren't even around. See, this is pure, unadulterated mercy and grace shown to God's people. Pure mercy. Pure grace. Look at that. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Why? That we should be holy, sanctified, set apart. My. And without blame before Him in love. Without blame. Sinners from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet. Without blame before God in Christ. Isn't that marvelous? It's wondrous. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. According to the, well, look at this. According to the good pleasure of His will. God chose you in Christ and me in Christ, who are His people, because it pleased Him to do so. That's wondrous. Don't let these words pass by. Don't say, well, I already knew that. And this is wondrous. According to His good pleasure. You ever do something because it pleased you to do so, just because you wanted to? You ever did something for somebody because you just wanted to? No ulterior motive, just because you wanted to? No ulterior motive here in us. Nothing in us that would merit this. But all according to God's will and purpose, He chose us in Christ because it pleased Him to do so, beloved. My, oh my. My, oh my. And then what does the believer say? Of course, like Paul here, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Look at that. Accepted in Christ. Outside Christ, rejected. That's the opposite of accepted, isn't it? That's what that verse is saying. In Christ, accepted. Outside Christ, rejected. And it don't matter what people say. If they say, well, I don't agree with that, it doesn't change it. Does it? Well, I don't like that, it doesn't change it. Before I was saved, I didn't like it. Now I love it. How do you explain that? That's the grace of God in Christ, beloved. Now turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at verses 18 to 21 here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold. Well, money can't redeem you. Silver and gold, they're precious metals. Precious metals, but they can't save your soul. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Can't save you. Or from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers. Church tradition can't save you. It has no saving efficacy. Nothing. Nothing at all. But my mom and dad believed that, and my grandparents can't save you. Only Christ can save. See, people look at their church, the Catholics, they're real big on that. Well, I've been a Catholic my whole life. Well, you're lost your whole life. Right? Traditions cannot save you. Just as baptism can't save you. No. My goodness. Only Christ can save. Look at this in verse 19. But with the precious, with the precious blood of Christ, God's blood, the blood of the God-man, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, perfect, holy, sinless. And look what it says. And tie this in with, remember our verse, He's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Look at this in verse 20 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Look at that. Foreordained before the foundation of the world. He's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, beloved. God planned, before there was a fall, God was a Savior. Before there was a sinner, God was a Savior. Didn't go to plan B when Adam fell. I remember hearing that when I was in religion. And even they used to say this too, when the Jews rejected Christ, well, God went to the Gentiles. That was always His plan. Because His elect are made up of Jews and Gentiles who will become one in Christ. That was always His plan. God doesn't go to plan B like we do. When something goes wrong, we may try to plan something else. God doesn't do that. He's planned and purposed all that will occur from eternity, beloved. My, oh my. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Now look, Paul's writing to born-again, blood-washed saints, right? And look what he says here. But was manifest in these last times for you. Now that's wondrous. He was manifested in time for God's people. Why? To save us from our sins, beloved. To fulfill the law perfectly in our place. To weave a coat of righteousness for us by fulfilling the law that we are now clothed in. It's wondrous. It's absolutely wondrous. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God. We believe in Christ, don't we? By God-given faith that raised him up from the dead. He died. He really died. And he was risen from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in who? Not in yourself, right? No, it says in God. Who's our faith and hope in? The Lord Jesus Christ, who is God incarnate in the flesh, beloved. Absolutely wondrous. Now let us remember that our great God is a God of purpose. Absolute and unalterable purpose. And his will and his purpose must and shall be accomplished. Now, beloved of God, before the world was made, before time began, our great, almighty, all-powerful, sovereign God sovereignly purposed all that comes to pass. So what comfort we can find in this precious, precious truth. That in uncertain times, to our human finite minds, there are uncertain times, right? Because we live in time and space, and we are caught by surprise by things that happen in and on this earth, but God's not. And especially in the times we find ourselves now, what comfort we can glean from the Scriptures, knowing that this is all coming to pass according to God's sovereign purpose. It is. Now the world freaks out. And we can rest and repose in Christ as the Lord gives us grace and strength to know that this is all happening according to his purpose. We don't understand it. But beloved of God, everything that is, has been, and shall be hereafter was purposed by our great God from eternity. And think upon this also, that everything in the universe is moving toward the predestinated end of God's eternal purpose. Everything. There will be a day when it all wraps up, beloved. And it's all moving toward the predestinated end of God's eternal purpose with absolute precision and accuracy. And there is nothing that is happening outside of our great God's ever watchful eye. Nothing. Nothing. Everything that comes to pass in time was purposed by our great God in eternity. We know this because the purpose of God is eternal, just like him. He's eternal. Therefore, his purpose is eternal. And the purpose of God, with God being God, would include everything. Right? Or he's not God. Or he's not God. And we know the Scripture says that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his what? Purpose. According to his purpose. So the purpose of God has for its particular design the spiritual and eternal benefit of God's elect. So marvel at this, that everything God has purposed is for the ultimate spiritual and eternal blessedness of his elect. That just leaves us in awe, doesn't it? Leaves us in awe. Now the identity of the Lamb, let's go back to Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. The identity of the Lamb who is slain from the foundation of the world. is made clear in Scripture in Revelation 17:14. These words are spoken of him. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. My, oh my. There's some titles of the Lamb. Lord of lords and King of kings. And notice the Lamb's capital. There's only one Lamb. This is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb of God. God's Passover Lamb. God's Passover Lamb. You go through Scripture and you see all them lambs that were offered. They're all just little lowercase lambs. This is the Lamb. This is the title of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, something I would like us to consider, that all the sacrifices of the Old Testament were pointing to Christ. And those who were offering those sacrifices, you know what they were saying? They were saying, by offering those sacrifices, I need a substitute. I need a substitute. That's what they were. Brother Norm said that last week, and that's so true. When they were offering those sacrifices, they were saying, by offering those sacrifices, I need a substitute. I need a substitute. My, oh my. And who were all those Old Testament sacrifices pointing to? Who did they picture? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved. That's who they pictured. That's who they pictured. John the Baptist, when looking at Jesus, what did he say? He said, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. That's what he said. Oh my. Behold the Lamb of God. And this is the very one who Revelation 13:8 speaks of. The Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. So again, as I said earlier, before there was ever a sinner, there was a Savior. There was a Savior. Before the world was ever brought into existence. Before sin ever entered into this world. The Word of God, the second person of the Trinity, was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Marvel, beloved, at this precious, precious truth. Let us consider now how the Scriptures bring this precious, precious truth before us. And we're seeing it unfolded in the pages of Scripture. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 3 to start. Genesis chapter 3. Beloved, this Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, this wondrous Lamb was first introduced in Eden in picture. In picture. Genesis chapter 3. This Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world, this wondrous Lamb of God, was first introduced in Eden in picture. Genesis chapter 3, we'll read verses 21 to 24. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now we know that the coats of skin represent the righteousness of Christ. And it was God who clothed them. It was God who clothed them, beloved. Well, God clothes us in the righteousness of Christ. And think of this. There was an innocent substitute who died to clothe them. There was an innocent substitute who died to clothe them, beloved. They were the guilty ones. And an animal was sacrificed to clothe them in skins. Well, what a picture we have of the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, beloved. The skin was removed from the animal. The blood was shed. And since it had not sinned, it did not deserve to die. Right? Since but it did indeed die, didn't it? And since Adam and Eve continued to live though they should have died, then that animal died in their place to clothe them. See, so we see the Lamb of God slain in picture, beloved. In picture. The innocent one dying for the guilty. My. So here before us, we have what Paul wrote about in the book of Colossians when he wrote this under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, when he penned this: "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." That was just a picture, beloved. Shadow. Christ is substance. He's the substance, beloved. And all those sacrifices in the Old Testament, all those sacrifices were shadows of things to come. And beloved of God, Christ is the substance of those shadows. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. What a picture of the sinless Lamb of God who would die as a substitute of His people, of God's elect, in order that they should live, whose blood would be shed for their redemption, and whose righteousness is our covering. All glory be to the Lord Jesus Christ. Next, let us consider in Genesis chapter 22, let us consider that the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world was prophesied by Abraham. Was prophesied by Abraham. Now, Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, he's told by God to go into the land of Moriah and offer his son, therefore, a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which God told him to go to. Look in verses 7 and 8. In verse 8 especially, we see Abraham prophesied about the great Lamb of God, who was God incarnate in the flesh, God Himself. And His name was the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this in Genesis 22, verses 7 and 8. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? So Isaac knew. Isaac knew what was to occur. He knew there was to be a sacrifice. And he's saying, Where's the sacrifice? We got the wood. We got the fire. We got the knife, but where's the sacrifice? Oh my, do you imagine how Abraham felt when he asked him that question? Oh my. And Abraham said, My son, look at this. Now here's a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ right here. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide Himself a lamb. And He did. And His name's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God incarnate. Isn't that wonderful? Oh my. And look what did he provide himself for? A lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. God will provide Himself the lamb for a burnt offering. Oh. Now a burnt offering was a lamb consumed entirely by fire on an altar, which represented the entire dedication of the offerer to God, and by which he was reconciled to God and therefore lived instead of receiving the death he deserved. So again, the innocent victim dying in the place of the guilty. The substitute died in his place. And then look in Genesis, we saw there in Genesis 22, Abraham had been commanded by Jehovah to sacrifice his only son. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11, but keep your finger there in Genesis chapter 22. Hebrews chapter 11. How do we know that Abraham obeyed? Well, look in Hebrews chapter 11. Look at this. But again, keep your finger in Genesis 22. Hebrews 11, verses 17 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, and oh, he was tried, wasn't he? This is his only son. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Oh my. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now look at that. His only begotten son. God sent his only begotten son. Now Abraham, he figured, well, if God tells me to kill him, he'll just raise him up. Right? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was slain in our place. And he was raised up by God, wasn't he? Look at that. Amazing. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 22. Now, we know that God did provide a lamb for Abraham that day. And you know what? You ever think of this? That lamb was divinely caught in those thickets. That lamb was divinely caught in those thickets. God told Abraham, you go up there, you put your son on the altar, and you're going to sacrifice him. All the time knowing that he would provide a lamb. Because this is all being planned and purposed from eternity, isn't it? Yeah. Look at this in Genesis chapter 22, verses 11 to 14. And the angel of the Lord, that's our King, beloved. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thine son, thine only son, from me. Now think of that. The knife went up, and it was ready to plunge into Isaac. And I imagine he's probably shaken. Right? And God called out to him and said, Abraham, Abraham. But when the Lord Jesus Christ was in our place, that knife was plunged. That knife was plunged. And the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, that which was planned and purposed by God in eternity, came to pass in time. He was manifested to save us from our sins, beloved, to redeem us with his precious blood. And that knife was not stopped. The sword of God's justice plunged into Christ. Oh my, what a Savior. What a Savior. And that was pictured in this lamb here. Again, this is a divinely caught ram in a thicket. The Lord had this happen. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, verse 13, and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. He caught there in his, he wasn't there before, now he's caught. He can't get out. He can't get his head out. And he's caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went out and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son, in the room and place of his son. That knife plunged into that ram. The innocent one dying again for the guilty. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Right? As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord shall it be seen. The Lord provided for him, didn't he? Yes, he did. The Lord provided. Oh my, it's wonderful. And we know that all those Old Testament sacrifices could never take away sin. But they were pointing to the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, who would be manifested. Who would be manifested in due time. In God's time, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the physical Lamb God provided that day died as a substitute for Isaac, for Abraham's son. But it was again also a shadow of things to come. But the substance is of Christ. And it's Christ who was not spared in our place. And he willingly went to that cross to die in the room and place of his people, because he's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's the Word of God. He's the second person of the Trinity, incarnate in the flesh. God himself has provided himself a lamb. The Lamb of God, mine, who was offered for all the sins of God's chosen people, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. The next point is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world was portrayed in the Passover sacrifice. Turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter 12. Now, in Exodus chapter 12, the Passover Lamb, he was to be without blemish, a male of the first year. That means he's in the prime of his life. He's in the prime of his life. Look at verse 5 in Exodus chapter 12. Your lamb shall be without blemish, spotless. Now, why did it have to be without blemish? Because it was picturing the one who's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Exodus chapter 12, verse 5, it says here again, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Now, this lamb was to be sacrificed, an innocent one again dying for the guilty. An innocent one again dying for the guilty. And its blood, what was its blood to be done? We know it was to be applied on the lintels of the door, wasn't it? Yeah. To identify Israel. To identify the houses which God would pass over, beloved, that night. When the death angel came, he'd pass over those homes. When he struck the firstborn of Egypt. And those were the enemies of God that were being stricken. Now look a little further down here in Exodus chapter 12, verses 7 to 14. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two posts and on the upper post of the house wherein they shall eat. So we see here, door frame. They were to put blood on the whole door frame. Beloved. My, oh my. Blood. Blood. The blood of an innocent. The blood of an innocent one. And they shall eat the flesh in that night. Well, by faith, we hunger and thirst after righteousness, don't we? We feast on Christ through the gospel. We're not cannibals. We feast on Him through the gospel, don't we? He's the bread of life. He's the water of life to us. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head and his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire, will be consumed. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, ready to go, beloved, ready to leave Egypt. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now look at this. Look at this. For I will pass through the land of Egypt. The angel of the Lord, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ, this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. Look at that lowercase of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. My! That's our Savior, beloved. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. When I see the blood, oh! This is wonderful. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Isn't that wonderful? God's people are covered in the blood of Christ, beloved. Oh, we're covered in the blood of Christ. That's wonderful. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. Oh my, the judgment of God will not fall upon them. Why? Because they're under the blood. Isn't that wonderful? God's judgment, not a drop of God's wrath will fall upon God's people because Christ has extinguished it in our place the sinless, spotless Lamb of God has extinguished it in our place. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now remember, Egypt's a picture of the world. Right? There's a great judgment coming. But not a drop of God's judgment will fall upon his people because we're covered in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're clothed in the righteousness of Christ, beloved. It's wonderful. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, and ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. So once again, we have a clear picture here of that which Paul wrote about a shadow of things to come, but the substance is Christ. We have a very clear picture there. So beloved of God, rejoice. Christ, who is the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, is our Passover Lamb, and he was sacrificed for us. He was sacrificed for us. Oh my. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 53. The next point is this lamb, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, was characterized by Isaiah under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen to these words in Isaiah chapter 53. And note, I'm going to bring this out tonight, but I want to bring it out now. Note the past tense verbiage used in this portion of Scripture. Note how, and this is, I think it was 750 years before Christ even came to this world. But notice the past tense verbiage. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. See the past tense verbiage there? Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He hadn't even come to this world yet. Look at that. Beloved, he's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Look at that. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our sins were imputed to Christ, beloved. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And we know that this passage proclaims Christ. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 8. We know by putting Scripture with Scripture, we know that this is speaking of Christ. Look in Acts chapter 8. Philip the evangelist, he preached Christ to the Ethiopian eunuch from this very passage. Now remember, they didn't have the New Testament when Philip met up with this eunuch. No, he's reading Isaiah. He's reading the scrolls of Isaiah. Acts chapter 8, verses 29 to 35. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some men should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the Scripture which he read, and we just read this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before a shearer, so he opened not his mouth. We just read that, didn't we? In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this? Himself or of some other man? So the eunuch's like, who's the prophet speaking of here? Now remember, that was written 750 years before Christ came to this world. And it's past tense, as I said there. And look what Philip said. Then Philip, oh, this is wonderful. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He proclaimed Christ to him, right? Because it speaks of Christ, beloved. It speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it said that lambs are not driven to the slaughter. They're just led to the slaughter. They just go. Some animals, you got to drive them to the slaughter. Not lambs. They just get led, it said. They just get led right to the slaughter. And Jesus Christ willingly followed those who led him to the place where he was by them slaughtered on Calvary, where his blood was shed, because he knew he must die. He's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He knew the whole reason he came here was to redeem his people from their sins. He is God incarnate in the flesh. And he knew he must shed his precious, precious blood to redeem his people from their sins on Calvary's tree. And that's exactly what he did. And then he cried that wonderful cry, "It is finished." There's nothing to be added to. It's his work. He's the one who's redeemed us. And sheep are silent, it said. It said that they're not complaining. Even when they get sheared, it said that they don't complain. They're silent. And Jesus Christ, when he was sheared by his enemies, he kept silent and said nothing. You know why? I've read this with several commentators. You know why he was quiet? You know why he never said a word? Because he's the silent, suffering substitute. He's a substitute in the place of his people. Oh my. What would we be doing if people were nailing us to the cross? We'd be screaming. Not our Lord. No. Oh, he's sheared by his enemies and he keeps silent and said nothing. And when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. And when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. He committed his eternal soul to the Father, knowing that the whole reason he came here to this earth was to die in the place of his people. As the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, that which was planned and purposed in eternity must come to occur in time. Remember the scripture over there in Peter when we read, he was manifested for us? Yeah. He's a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And that which was planned and purposed must come to pass in time. It's wonderful. Number 5, this Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world was manifested in time because he was ordained from eternity. Christ was chosen and ordained to be our surety before the foundation of the world. Redemption of sinners by the precious blood of Christ, again, was no afterthought of God. He didn't go to plan B, as I said earlier, when Adam fell. No. When Adam fell, there was already a Savior provided. There was already a Savior provided before Adam fell. And he was bought out to public view and to public rejection and to public crucifixion in these last days. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Last point I'd like us to consider is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world was presented by John the Baptist. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Look at verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Look at that. Behold, the Lamb of God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. My, oh, my. The Jews were looking for a Messiah to come as a great prophet or to come as a great king to deliver them from the oppression of the Romans. But Christ didn't come that way, did he? No. No, he didn't come that way. They understood nothing of a Savior priest, did they? No, they didn't. They understood nothing of the Lamb of God. You would think those priests and Levites who ministered about the temple and the sacrifices would have inquired about the sacrifice, but no, apparently they had no sense of sin. They were Abraham's seed. And they would have welcomed him on the throne, but not on the altar. You ever think of that? They had welcomed Christ on the throne, but not on the altar. But Christ came to sacrifice himself for the sins of his people. And John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." That's the Passover Lamb of God right there. And this Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the one who John said, "Behold the Lamb of God," is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." John, and then verse 15, "John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he. Of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." This is the Word of God incarnate, beloved. Oh my, it is with good reason that the final and concluding book of the Bible is titled The Revelation of Jesus Christ. Turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 5. In this book, we see the final unveiling of the Lamb of God. In the fifth chapter of that wonderful book, look at this in Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. We're going to read the whole chapter. "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals." A lot of commentators say this is the book of the decrees of God from eternity. "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?'" Who's worthy to do this? "And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." Look at that. "And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders," now see, he's weeping because no one can open the book, but look at this. "And one of the elders says to him, 'Weep not. Behold,'" here's another title of our king, "'Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain." The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb slain, the same Lamb who was slain in time, the Lord Jesus Christ, and rose from the grave, beloved. "Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb." Now they're worshiping him, aren't they? Now these angels wouldn't worship him unless he's God. Remember again, I mentioned last week, when men fell down before angels, they said, "Don't worship me. But they fall down before this one, before this lamb. This is our Savior, beloved. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors. Some say those are the prayers of the saints, beloved, which are, again, well, it says right there, which are the prayers of the saints. It's right there in Scripture. And they sang a new song. Oh my, they sang a new song. And don't we who are born again sing a new song now? We do, don't we? They sang, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou was slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands," a number you can't even number, "saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as in are the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." They're worshiping him and adoring him, beloved. They're giving glory to the only one who's worthy. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. So rejoice, beloved of God. Rejoice and marvel at what we have seen and looked at today. Our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Lamb foreordained before the foundation of the world. He was pictured and introduced in Eden, prophesied by Abraham, portrayed in the Passover lamb and all the Levitical offerings, characterized by Isaiah, presented by John the Baptist, and manifested on Calvary's cross to be the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. To God be the glory for this wonderful, merciful Savior we have, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh, for this wondrous text of Scripture. Oh, then, Lord Jesus, we marvel that you who are the Lamb of God died on Calvary's cross to purchase our eternal souls. Wonder of wonders, O Lord. Wonder of wonders. We who are your people will ever be grateful. We will sing one day with the choir in heaven, "Worthy is the Lamb," with a number no man can number, we will sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and power and blessings, O Lord." And we will sing that all because of thee, because it pleased you to save us. We love you, Lord Jesus, because you first loved us, and you loved us with an everlasting love. Glory to your name, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.